You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week, brought to you by...
Your company name here.
That's right. You could be a proud sponsor of the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week or our flagship show, the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. If you're interested in supporting either of our very high-quality shows, just shoot us an email with the subject line, sponsorship, to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. We'll get right back to you. Lord knows, we're desperate for cash. Oh my God, we're back with another Answer of the Week. You may notice that Joe Patrick is not in the room with me. He's Skyping in on this one because he's too lazy to come over at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday. And interrupting my lady's luge watching, I'd like to add.
It's been a long night, okay?
I left Joe Patrick alone for 15 minutes and he came up with one of the weirdest questions of the week we've ever had. By the way, this is the Answer of the Week podcast where we play your answers to the question of the week. But before
did
we
do that...
Did
you forget how to do this?
I did forget how to do it. Before we do any of that, I need you, Joe Patrick, to tell me what was the question of the week. Because I don't think you cleared this one with me. I think you just kind of threw it out there.
Listen, one, you're not the boss of me. Two, I didn't come up with it. It was a listener suggestion.
Okay.
This question comes from Harvey Locust, who asks...
I'm a big Harvey guy, too, so I won't talk any smack.
Okay, good. If you could erase one character from history, from all of existence...
From comic book history, that is.
Undo his creation, who would it be and why?
Wow, that is deep. I'm going to have to really consider an answer here. That is nuts. I like it,
though. It's a difficult question. I still haven't made a pick.
Nicely done, Harv. Let's go to our first call here. 16 hours ago, this person hit me. I believe this is about 6 in the morning because I remember my phone vibrating and me going, this better be a goddamn emergency. Turns out...
Zach Hollowell.
Zach Hollowell called me at 6 in the morning. God damn it, Zach.
Hey, nerds. Good morning. This is Zach Hollowell calling in for the first time in, like, forever. I'm calling about the question of the week. Now, if I had to get rid of one from DC and one from Marvel, it's kind of cut and dry for me. You got to get rid of DC character. It's definitely going to be Lobo. I hate Lobo. I think he's stupid. I think he's an overreaction to DC saying, we don't have our own Wolverine. And somebody said, oh, well, let's make a Wolverine who... He's even more badass because he's from space and he's got a space motorcycle, but he's still badass and he's got a dog. And I just think it's stupid, and I always have. And if I go for the Marvel side, I've also got to go Deadpool. I don't like Deadpool. I think he's just a stupid character. He reminds me of like the guy that you hang out with sometimes who thinks he's funnier than he actually is, and he annoys everyone, basically me. So, yeah. Those are my two. Can't stand either one of them. I don't think they add a thing to comics except for, like, bottom of the barrel, lowest common denominator crap. So, there you go. Enjoy your week. Bye.
He hates Lobo and he hates Deadpool.
Yeah, controversial. You know, he raises an excellent point about Lobo. The thing that got lost through the years is that Lobo was created as a parody of Wolverine.
Yeah.
Not as like an equivalent of Wolverine.
And that has definitely been lost.
Oh, right. I mean, they once he became popular, they definitely turned him into the thing that he was parodying, just like Marvel did with Deadpool.
Yeah, definitely. Because Deadpool
was created as a parody of Deathstroke.
Right.
I'm not going to address the Deadpool situation because I have loved Deadpool on occasion, but I have to agree with him. I wouldn't be too sad if Lobo wasn't around anymore.
Look, I understand where he's coming from. And I'm tempted to say, yeah, you know what? Wipe Deadpool from continuity because he's gotten so far away from anything that I liked about that character. And if you think about it, let's look at the history of Deadpool. He started with Rob Liefeld's Deadpool, which was nothing. It was just a guy in a red costume, and it was stupid. And then two really talented creators, Joe Kelly and Christopher Priest, got a hold of him and made him an amazing character. And from there... He's just never been the same. Even this new Deadpool, which is, I admit, is better and is funny. The Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn Deadpool is good. But do I need it? I don't know. Lobo? I feel nothing.
Whether we need it or not, does it merit wiping him from existence? Because we liked what Rick Remender did with him in Uncanny X-Force.
And I love what Joe Kelly did with him. And I love what Christopher Priest did with him. So I'm going to say no on Deadpool. Lobo? I don't really care. You want to wipe from existence? Doesn't bother me.
You know what? This is a hypothetical. He can want whatever he wants. We don't have to agree.
It's true. But ultimately, this is our little universe that we rule in, so we get to agree or disagree. Let's move on to the THN consigliere, our very own counsel and mouthpiece, Mr. Ryan Forrest. I'm sure he's got someone he wants.
Good evening, gentlemen. Ryan, calling in with an answer to question of the week. This is no laughing matter. It's got to be Gambit from the X-Men. That is the worst character. I would take Morrow. I would take the guy that had the little creature leeches on his shoulders.
Maggot.
I'd pick any other X-Men in the world besides that guy. Hated him. Hated him from day one. Stupid trench coat. Stupid faceplate that he wore. Walking around with half a cane. Stupid. 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 That's all I can say. Thanks.
Well, he is certainly feeling all of his feelings.
You know what? I'm going to stay quiet on this for the moment, but I don't totally disagree with him. I'll say that.
You know, I just can't find it in my heart to care enough about Gambit to hate him.
Okay, that's fair.
So, I mean, I personally, I don't have that kind of vitriol towards him.
What about where he led the
Marauders?
Yes, what about when he led the Marauders to the Morlock tunnels to kill all the Morlocks? But they didn't have the balls to say that he was actually Harpoon, who had the same powers.
He's not Harpoon. That's stupid.
Harpoon had the same powers. And it would have made more sense had they said that Harpoon was secretly Gambit. I would have said, okay, well, that's not dumb and racist because you have like, oh, I'm an Eskimo and my name is Harpoon. And my power is I charge a harpoon and throw it at people. Give me a damn break.
But he's not. Harpoon is an Eskimo and Gambit is from Louisiana.
Could have been Gambit with a different haircut. I'm just saying. He's the, you know, master of thieves or whatever, which is also dumb. Like, what does that even mean?
He's a master of the Thieves Guild. Haven't you played Skyrim?
I'll go into it later. But let's go on. Looks like Casual Comics Guy decided he needed to weigh on this one, too. Let's see who he hates.
Dude, you know, this is the question of the week, right? So it's Casual Comics Guy, Joe from Omaha, Nebraska, calling in. This week, I really needed this question. I tried to pre-register for San Diego Comic-Con, but I only got Thursday and Sunday badges. Like, who uses Sunday? I don't need to see the Nickelodeon panels. So, who would I erase from all of comics history? Seemed easy enough. I got a lot of anger this week. It's harder than I expected. I thought of Franklin Richards, his stupid 4.5 outfit. Too easy. The Watcher, that guy's creepy. I mean, like, he's watching my every move. Weird, but I could not do without the What If series. Like, the What If Wolverine was Lord of the Vampires. Like, that's too good. You can't go without the Watcher. So, you know, I posted something about the Beyonder. I mean, that guy's like a being from outside our dimension, and his only mistake was really taking human form. However cool Secret Wars was, and that's pretty damn cool, Secret Wars 2 was twice as lame. The Beyonder in Secret Wars 2 was like my dad in Vegas. He was like wandering around in a members-only jacket and looking at the sights, and everything around him was kind of annoyed, and the people who knew him were just embarrassed for him. So, to the point, there's one interdimensional being way worse than the Beyonder, and it's Mr. Miskolixka, I guess. However you say his name, I don't know. I looked at the pronunciation on Wikipedia, but I don't care. And that should tell you everything you need to know as a little turd. That name, is that a joke? He's an interdimensional being with unlimited power. Why is he a teeny tiny bald guy? Like the Beyonder, at least he was 6 foot and change. You know, and get some hair, shorty. The Beyonder had a mullet, and it's embarrassing, but at least he could grow the hair. I mean, if the two of them were at a Bon Jovi concert in 91, I know who would have gotten the ladies. And, you know, the fashion, they make fun of Superman for wearing underwear on the outside, but Mr. Pixenzitz, or whatever his name is wearing tights and a miniskirt. Dude, and cover your arms.
So I'm going to go ahead and play the second one and just see what's there. But I think we can cut that off at, you know, like, obviously he's pissed at Mr. Mitzelplick. I just want to see what he does in the second one.
All right. It's the question of the week again. From Joe again. Casual Comics guy again. I got cut off last time. We were talking about the Beyonder and how terrible he was. Because, you know, he was horrible. He was a being from outside our dimension, and he had Secret Wars. Secret Wars was cool, but, you know, he was like my dad in Vegas. He was wandering around in a members-only jacket. He was, like, looking at the sights, and he's like, oh, hey, this is great. And everyone around him was so embarrassed all the whole time. They make fun of Superman for wearing underwear on the outside, but this guy is, like, wearing a miniskirt. Dude, and cover your arms. They're kind of like pipe cleaners, and you got hair under your pits, and just change. And his weakness, you can defeat him by making him say his name backwards. My last name isn't as complicated as this guy, but still, you could trick me into saying it backwards if it was a difference in me being the supreme being in your dimension versus being a lame idiot in my own dimension. So there's a lot of lame characters in comics, but this Jack Wipe takes the cake. I'm still mad that I am thinking about how to pronounce his name in my head over and over and over. At least I can pronounce Batmite. And that guy's guys. We'll talk to you later.
Joe Patrick, before we say anything, I'd like you to pronounce this character's name for me.
The character's name is Mr. Mixius Pitalik.
There you go. Straight from the mouth of the biggest nerd you know, Mr. Mixius Pitalik. I hate the yes. character too. I hate that character.
I love Mr. Mixius Pitalik.
No, you don't. You don't Sorry. Love him.
Yeah, I do.
Are you serious?
I do. I really do.
So if he's wiped out of continuity, what is the biggest thing you miss about him going away?
Well, I mean, it's not that he's necessarily
I rest
acting.
My case.
No, but the stories that he's in are fun, and that's what I like about it.
I think it's a golden age throwaway, and we can forget it.
Nope, I think he's fun. I think he adds some levity, and he doesn't need to have lasting change to just be enjoyable, and that's what I appreciate about him.
Pusha.
He was used to great effect in Alan Moore's story, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow.
Okay, I'll give you there. He was really cool. What about the Beyonder? Where do you stand on the Beyonder?
I don't care about the Beyonder at all.
I don't care about the Beyonder at all. And I think when they revealed that he was an Inhuman, the Beyonder got even more lame.
Oh, I hate that so much.
Yeah, I think it's really stupid.
I hate that so much. I did not read Secret Wars until I was an adult. So I don't have that attachment to it that a lot of comic fans our age do.
I read it when I was much younger and I really liked it. In retrospect, it is pretty stupid. It just is. It's pretty stupid.
Sure, a lot of stories from back then are stupid, but
sure.
You know, I do agree that Secret Wars 2, where he gets his Jerry Curl and his leisure suit.
Let's just look at that Jerry Curl for a minute. And you tell me the dude's an Inhuman? That guy's a Jew, okay? That is a Jew fro and a Jew curl if I've ever seen one. That guy is not an Inhuman. He's a Schwartz Goldstein.
He's not a human being at all. He's an evolved cosmic cube.
He's a Beyondstein. It's ridiculous. I mean, look at that hair.
Beyondstein.
Bradley J. Tim is the first person to send us an MP3 this week. Let's see what Bradley J. Tim wanted erased from comics continuity forever.
Why, hello, two-headed nerd. This is Doc Flux of Feated Comics. When I'm not performing rituals to extract and feed the creative essence of comics to an old and nameless god beast, I am assembling my very first MP3 to submit to the Ziggurat. Which comic character would I erase from existence? Well, this required a brief period of internal deliberation, and the answer I have landed on may shock you and your listeners, and may incite chaos in the podcastoverse. Wolverine. Yes, I said it. Wolverine. Imagine it, nerds. Imagine all the days and future past that could be cleansed of this profusely overemployed relic of my adolescence that both dominates the pages of every other Marvel publication, as well as every screen adaptation of the X-Men, minus First Class, of course, he only showed up for a second. Imagine all the other characters that would see development in the pages, or represented on screen properly, if Logan wasn't there to suck up the spotlight like a freshly spawned black hole, forced like a square peg into every round hole, every plot, every damn team recombobulation. And if he's not on the team, don't worry. He will be attending the next event, bub. Oh, yes. And chances are, he'll be the f***ing savior of all mankind. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Wolverine. But I like Wolverine how I like my wasabi. Just a little dabble, do ya? So this banishment I propose is simply food for thought. Certainly the resulting hypotheticals are at the very least fascinating discussion. Thanks for everything, guys. Keep on keeping on, rocking in the free world. This is Doc Flux, vanishing in a puff of smoke before your fans figure out who and where I am and organize a lynching.
Oh, wow. Classy end there from Dr. Flux, Bradley Tim. That was amazing. And I love that, like, our two most potent MP3 members are Brad's. I love that.
Yes. Well done, Dr. Flux.
Making a case for Wolverine, and I totally understand where he's coming from. If you want to talk about one overused character that should have just been very simple, best there is at what he does, badass, clawed, tough guy, leave him at that, it's Wolverine. And they've definitely overinflated the character. Now, I personally love Wolverine, and I don't want him to go away.
Neither do I. I mean, I like Wolverine, but I agree that he is way overused, like vastly overused.
Completely. I totally agree. Totally agree. That said, I don't think he needs to be erased from continuity. But that was a fantastic MP3. Thank you, Mr.
Yes, Sam. Sir. Welcome aboard, Dr. Flux.
Welcome aboard. Dr. Flux from Feed It Comics. Everybody go and download that and then tell them to tell their friends to download us because we need the downloads. So, moving right along, you know, Mr. Randy Andrews, he hits us every week and we thank him for it. Randall, let's see who you want to get rid of.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews calling in for the question of the week. I thought it would be fun to make it really interesting if you erased J. Jonah Jameson from the comics of Spider-Man. Why would I erase him? Because he's the most annoying and obnoxious comic villain in the Spider-Man's history. No one other than J. Jonah Jameson could bring down Spider-Man as much as him. He has the power of the press. Such power went to his head throughout Spider-Man's life. If he were gone, there would be another villain, probably not as annoyed, that Spider-Man exists. That's my answer, guys. It's a bunch of fun to be able to call in this week, and have a good night.
Randy Andrews wants J. Jonah Jameson to go away. I gotta say, I disagree. I way disagree.
Yeah. I way disagree, but he does raise an interesting thought. J. Jonah Jameson has let his position go to his head to such a degree that he has actively financed the creation of actual supervillains.
It's true. This is true. But
there would be no Spider Slayers without J. Jonah Jameson. There would be no Scorpion without J. Jonah Jameson.
This is true. But all those things, I would argue, totally fall well within the purview of his character. Like, J. Jonah Jameson, first and foremost, believes he's the smartest guy in the room. And if at that time, making Spider Slayers is the right decision, well then, damn it, J. Jonah Jameson's gonna make that decision. Or if at that time, giving the Scorpion his powers is the right thing to do to get rid of the menace that is Spider-Man, you bet that's what J. Jonah Jameson's gonna do. He's a go-getter! I love J. Jonah Jameson, personally.
He is a go-getter. He is a go-getter. That much is true.
I love that character. But I get it. I see where he's coming from. You're not gonna believe this. I'm gonna mention a name here. Let's see if you even remember this. Keith Silva, ladies and gentlemen. Remember this guy? Used to send stuff to the show all the time. Used to write for us.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Let's see what he has to say.
Keith King Silva. That's his official nickname, by the way.
It's true. It's his official nickname. Ladies and gentlemen, Keith King Silva.
What's up, nerds? It's the newly appointed THN ombudsman, Keith Silva. Since Mac gets his BVDs in a twist, what am I talking about? Nerd probably goes commando. And that is something no one should have in their head. Ugh. Where was I? Matt's BVDs. Ah, I did it again. So yeah, Matt hates it when we call in with more than one pick for one of these nerd confessions or whatever one this is. To be honest, I'd like to go Fred Hembeck on most of the Marvel Universe. Joe, you're going to have to explain that dated reference to the superior kids listening at home. Here you go, Bomber. Galactus. Get rid of Galactus. Now, she, he, it, whatever Galactus is, does get us Silver Surfer, who would have been cool regardless. Surfboard equals cool. Look it up. Galactus is a literal deus ex machina, which is Canadian, I think, for introducing an unstoppable threat only to have it stopped every time. Galactus eats planets. What is that? The Marvel science behind that very statement is an insult to what? Real science science? Science-y science, I guess? Galactus has a stupid costume. It's not a uniform. What is he, in a union, a militia? And a dumb purpose. Again, the planet eating. He can't be killed, he can't be stopped. All he does is eat planets. And for a dude who, you know, eats planets, he can be talked out of it. Zen La. It would be cool if Galactus did have one of those extreme eating shows. Or better yet, what about like the great outdoors? One of the heralds, Fallen One, or Airwalker says, "There's nothing left on that plate but gristle and fat." And Ego, Joe, please explain who Ego is when I'm done. Sort of nods his, I don't know, northern hemisphere and bugs out his eyes and says, "If he can get it down, maybe we'll throw in a couple of Terax hats for the kids."
I'll tell you what, you want points in this show? Call in with a Better Off Dead soundtrack and make a great outdoors reference. That's going to get you huge points in Matt Baum's book. Joe Patrick, explain to these kids who Fred Hembeck is.
Fred Hembeck is a cartoonist, still working today, very popular in the 80s, did a lot of Marvel parody stuff.
I loved him. I absolutely loved him.
Both for Marvel and for other publications. He put out a special from Marvel called Fred Hembeck Destroys the Marvel Universe.
He drew circles on everybody's knees.
Everyone's knees had little swirlies in them.
And Ego.
Ego is Ego the Living Planet.
Yes.
An old, old Marvel, I don't know if you even call it a villain, but it's like a cosmic being who is a giant planet with a face with a big bushy mustache.
Okay, here's my challenge to you. Who came first, Ego or Mogo?
Ego.
Ego came before Mogo?
Yeah, Mogo is a creation of the 80s, I believe.
Okay, and why don't you go ahead and explain Mogo for these kids?
Mogo is also a sentient planet. It serves as a member of the Green Lantern Corps. As of now, in current continuity, spoiler alert, Mogo is the new home base.
What?
Of the Green Lantern Corps because Oa has been destroyed. Mogo was created by Alan Moore, first appeared Green Lantern mid-80s.
Regardless of that, we're talking about Galactus.
I love Galactus, and I totally disagree. Though I do think Keith has a point in saying that Galactus, the planet eater that is cannot be stopped except for when he's always stopped.
Yeah, no, I agree too. Galactus used to be like a major threat. Like when Galactus showed up, all hell broke loose. Now Galactus shows up once a year and basically somebody shuts him down. You know, I mean, he's not as badass as he used to be. Does that mean he should be wiped from continuity? I don't know. I kind of like him. And personally, I think his armor is pretty cool.
I see where he's coming from. And his current outfit is much, much less embarrassing than his original outfit, which was purple short pants with a giant G on his belt.
You know what? I like them both. totally admit
it. You are lying.
I like them both. Aaron Meyer sent us an MP3 this week, too. Hopefully he can talk this time. Let's see what he had to say.
Hey, guys. It's Aaron Myers here. Co-host of the Comics Therapy Podcast. I do with Andrea Schockling, who is at Andrea Schock on Twitter. I don't know what mine is, but I want to make sure you guys know that she's the best and most amazing co-host anyone could ever ask for. Maybe that'll get her off my back. Anyway, answering the question this week, it's going to kind of come as a surprise maybe, but I'm going to say Wolverine. And bear with me. I think Wolverine has been used so much since his inception that he's made for a lot of lazy storytelling over the years. And he's not ruined the Marvel Universe, but really kind of monopolized it so much that it's taken away from a lot of other good characters. And it's just too much. Without Wolverine, we might have a lot better storytelling over the last 20 years, and especially in the 90s. So that's going to be my pick. And I hope everyone can deal with it. I'll talk to you later.
Let's talk about that karaoke version of the real Slim Shady for a minute, shall we? That was really something. That was like Korea's best synthesizer players brings you the karaoke version of Eminem.
I couldn't make out what the song was. It was the Eminem.
Yes, it was Eminem. It was definitely
hilarious.
Eminem. Yes. So that's another vote for Wolverine.
Interesting. We discussed it already. I definitely understand where people are coming from. Overuse, absolutely. But it's not that no good has come from him. So
no, definitely not. And
I just can't agree.
Yeah, I can't agree either. I love the old Knucklehead too much. I can't help it. I'm short. I also have claws. I have a healing factor. You know, I know where he's coming from.
You're Canadian.
I'm Canadian. I've got that going for me. Speaking of Aaron Myers, speaking of Andrea Schockling, here's Andrea Schockling, boys. Get ready.
Hi, boys. It's Andrea. At Andrea Schock on Twitter and one half of Comics Therapy with Aaron Myers. Maybe you've heard of us. It's totally Joe's favorite show. So I know I said Cyclops last week when you posted the question, but he's too essential to too many stories. And I'll admit, I've been swayed a bit when it comes to his dickishness. No, it's another Summers I'd eliminate. Sorry, Hope. Maybe if you had more of a defined personality to balance out your ill-defined powers. Also, could your name be any more twee? We get it. You were the firstborn. Good for you. You still suck. Unlike last week when I waxed philosophical on the symbolism of Hawkeye's lack of costume, I don't really have a great reason to articulate regarding my desire to wipe Hope Summers from existence. I just think the story of the first mutant born after House of M should have been better. Hope's origin and powers are muddy, her limits are inconsistent, and she's so annoying. There's nothing to fix here. It's easier to scrap and start over. If only there was some sort of precedent for doing that in comics. Thanks, guys.
I don't hate that answer at all.
I don't hate that answer either. I mean, I kind of liked the story where Hope came from.
I like the idea of where Hope came from. I think the execution is the issue. And I think that's what Andrea is saying. Like, there's nothing inherently wrong with the idea of the character, but the execution, the complete lack of personality, and I totally agree with her, the really weirdly defined powers. Like, I can't tell you what Hope does. What's her
power? She's a mimic.
She's a mimic.
Yes.
But she also, like, in the presence of other mutants, helps them find their own powers?
Well, that was something that she was doing in Generation Hope, the short-lived series that she had with her team.
That was Kieran Gillen. I agree with her. I feel like Hope was not well-defined enough. Like, they wanted her to be this major character. They gave her red hair and stuff and sort of insinuated that she's related to Jean or maybe is young Jean. But then, nope, it was nothing like that.
Yes. They did a lot of Jean Grey foreshadowing with Hope, which kind of led me to believe that maybe they were going to go one way, but they zigged when they should have zagged or changed course at the last minute or whatever. But I liked all the, like, I would say all the stuff from before she came back as a teenager was fun. Like, I loved Cable, like, running around with a baby strapped to his chest trying to protect her.
I mean, I thought that was cool, too, but you gotta admit that that series didn't go anywhere.
No, I don't have to agree. It led exactly where it needed to.
See, and I liked it. I thought Dwayne Szczerzinski did a really good job on that series, and I thought it was well drawn, but ultimately, I just felt like that series didn't go anywhere, and it just kind of ended with them, like, time jumping.
It did go somewhere. That was the whole point of it, was to get Hope from the end of Messiah Complex to the beginning of the finale. It was a two-year... I don't know if it was planned to end or if it was canceled, but, like, the purpose of that book was to see Hope grow up. It did absolutely go somewhere.
Let me ask you a question. Where is Hope right now?
Hope has been in Cable and X-Force, but I haven't been reading it.
I know. And why have you not been reading it?
Well, not because of Hope.
Not necessarily because of Hope, but you certainly don't care about her story anymore. You know what?
She hasn't been the story, though, either. Her story is kind of over.
I love Cable. I even love Bishop. You know? And sure. I don't care about Hope at all. I really don't.
Well, I mean, now that they've brought back the mutants, Hope's story is essentially over. So really, what should have happened is she should have died at the end of Avengers vs. X-Men.
Or turned out to be something more than she was.
I mean, whatever. Like, the need to keep her around was not present.
Did you like when she became the Iron Fist?
I thought that was kind of fun.
I thought that was creative, but I didn't especially love it. Because I feel like you're going to be Iron Fist, you got to train in Kung Fu, like, all your damn life, son.
But she didn't become the Iron Fist. She just learned how to channel her chi like Iron Fist.
Yeah, I guess.
And that's what she does. She mimics other people's powers.
Joe Patrick, I've had enough of listening to what these people have to say. Who do you think should be erased from comics continuity forever? Their actions were so egregious and so terrible that we do not need them in continuity, period.
Wowzers.
I know, right? It's huge.
This is a really hard question.
It really is.
That when we started recording tonight, I still did not have an answer. I'm still not sure that I actually have a good answer.
Yeah, I'll be real honest. I don't think I have an answer.
But I picked one. I picked a character that I feel she could go away and the Marvel Universe would not be any worse for the wear.
Okay.
And that's Rogue.
Okay.
Rogue as a character... She's not even overused. Like, she's not a character that's worn out her welcome. I feel that her character adds nothing, if that makes sense. Like,
no, that's not a bad answer. I'm kind of with you. I feel like I tried to make a really big deal out of her character and tried to insinuate Rogue into the X-Men as, like, she was evil and now she's trying to redeem herself or whatever. But since then, she's been a victim for so long that I barely care about that character at all.
Right. I mean, and I've never really cared. Like, I've learned to accept her as a part of the X-Men.
Right.
But I'm not interested in what happens to her.
No.
I don't care about her struggle. I can't keep track of whether she can control her powers or not. I thought she became much less interesting after she lost Ms. Marvel's powers.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
And she stopped being super strong and able to fly. Ever since then, she's just kind of limped along, and they keep using her because she's quote-unquote a classic character. But really, she's not.
No.
She's kind of annoying. Her character arc has not really advanced at all since 1980, and I find her very insufferable. And she was the worst part of the X-Men movie.
Oh, yeah. She was terrible.
Now, I will say that there are some things that Rogue, like her presence, directly affected. And I mean specifically the character path of Carol Danvers.
Yes.
Would not be what it is without Rogue's involvement. But Ms. Marvel in the 80s was already a popular enough character. I think they could have written out the whole arc where she loses her memory, becomes Binary, and then comes back.
Whoa, back up. I've loved Binary.
No, I understand. But you have to agree that she's essentially reset to the way she was.
Oh, no, definitely. Like, they wiped it all clean. if you're not a dork like you and I, and you're following the Avengers now, you would never know anything like that happened to Ms. Marvel. You would have no clue. Even knowing that Rogue exists in the X-Men, you would have no clue.
Right. And now, like, originally Ms. Marvel did not have energy powers. That is definitely a holdover from Binary. But other than that one thing, I don't think you need any of that other stuff to have Carol Danvers we have today.
I totally agree.
So I think that you could excise Rogue from continuity and we'd all be happier. You wouldn't have this nonsense love story with Gambit that never goes anywhere.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all.
You wouldn't have to read somebody shoehorning in a painful Southern accent into their dialogue, okay, which I know is your favorite thing.
Oh, I love it more than anything. The only thing worse than the absolutely awful Southern accent is the absolutely awful Cajun accent of Gambit. And I was really, really tempted to go with Gambit because that is another character that, in my opinion, in the X world has gone nowhere and they don't know what to do with him. They have no clue what to do with Gambit. And his outfit is stupid. It was pink and blue, and he wore a brown trench coat for no reason. Why is he wearing a trench coat over his costume?
That's fashion.
Stupid. Absolutely because stupid. But
he's got to have pockets to hold all the stuff he steals.
Dumb. But I'm going to walk away from Gambit because I don't want to give him that much power. And I'm going to go to one of my favorite villains, also an ex-villain. And a villain that muddied the waters of one of my favorite characters so much. And I have to blame Grant Morrison for this one. I'm going to go with Zorn. Zorn made no goddamn sense whatsoever. It turned out that when we first met Zorn, Zorn was pretty interesting. He was a Chinese like prisoner that had a star in his brain. And he wore a really cool helmet that maybe held the power of the star in check. I don't know. They never really explained it. Didn't matter. He looked cool. Turns out he's not Zorn at all. He's Magneto. Or maybe he's Joseph, who is another character I would really like to get rid of.
Now hold on, hold on.
Magneto's clone, Joseph, who I totally hated.
I'm going to stop you. All the things that you hate about Zorn came from Marvel backpedaling and undoing everything Grant Morrison did.
Yes.
Grant Morrison fully intended Zorn to be Magneto in disguise.
Yes.
And he dies at the end.
And if you want to say Zorn was Magneto because like the whole idea of having a star in your head are electromagnetic powers and he's using his magnetic powers in that way, I'm okay with that. But what Marvel did to the character. What Marvel did to the character was so egregious and so stupid. They went as far as to like introduce Zorn's brother, who was a totally different character that had nothing to do with Magneto. And they muddied.
Well, same helmets, though.
Oh my God. It was so painful. Like, I can't sit here and explain it to you. I can't. I read it. I know exactly what happened. I want to say Chuck Austin was behind that. Was that who was? I mean, not necessarily his fault, but Chuck Austin was writing that.
Chuck Austin came up with the whole, it was in Chuck Austin's run that they did the whole Zorn's brother thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it just muddied the waters of Magneto so much.
That will be the one time that I say that is probably not Chuck Austin's fault.
No, I agree.
It was probably editorial mandate.
I totally agree. And I hate what Chuck Austin did, and I will never defend him as a writer, but I don't think that's his fault. I think Marvel went, oh, God, we can't kill Magneto. what do we do?
The second it came off the presses, they were like, oh, shit.
Yeah. They gave Grant Morrison carte blanche, and then they were like, oh, no. What did we do?
we went too far.
Yeah.
Now, to be perfectly fair, I am grateful. I would have hated for Magneto to be written out. And I much prefer the maturing villain seeking redemption version of Magneto than I do the cackling villain version of Magneto.
No, and it is very cool, and I like where Magneto is today. But, man.
But the execution was bullshit.
Go read his Wikipedia page. Go search Zorn and read the Wikipedia page. And you will seriously think that a schizophrenic crack addict is writing this like stream of consciousness, making it up as they go. It is so insane, and you can completely remove that from continuity. As much as I liked what Grant Morrison did there, I'm saying you can completely remove it, and Magneto is a better character for it.
I agree. So I have a runner-up from Marvel, and if I'm being honest with myself, it's kind of a toss-up which one I hate more, and that is Vulcan, who was created by Ed Brubaker in X-Men Deadly Genesis.
Oh, he's the other Summers brother.
He's the third Summers brother, right?
Right.
I love Ed Brubaker as a writer.
I do too.
But I will go on record as saying that his X-Men is not my favorite.
I will go on record as saying, don't let the man go into space with his characters. It's just a bad idea.
Well, yeah. So in X-Men Deadly Genesis, he introduced the idea when the X-Men were captured by Krakoa, the living island. In between the pages of Giant Size X-Men number one, after the original X-Men get kidnapped, but before he recruits Wolverine, Colossus, Storm, et cetera, he gathered another team and sent them all to their deaths.
Yeah, they just failed. They did the job wrong. That's their fault. That's not Professor X.
Yeah, they failed.
When you say he, you mean Professor X.
Professor X, yes. Thank you. Not only did he send Cyclops' brother and his friends to their deaths, but he erased the knowledge of his brother's existence from Cyclops' mind.
Hey, I get that. I'd do it too.
Which is a real dick move.
Hey. Yeah, but Professor X's like history is full of real dick moves if you think about it.
It's true. It's true, but
they ruined that character so bad they had to kill him.
I guess. But you know, it's like when people say Superman had to snap Zod's neck, he had no choice. And my response is,
that's horseshit.
The only reason he had no choice is because the writers made it that way. The only reason Professor X is such a dick is because the writers keep making him do terrible things.
Yeah, they kept making him a dick, basically.
And this one, I think, is like the worst thing he's probably ever done. And I know it sounds like I'm making an argument for Professor X.
No, I agree. I think like it's pretty egregious. I mean, they got into that really weird, like he's sexually attracted to Jean Grey stuff. And I was like, oh man, I don't need this. And then they went way past that with, oh no, he had a whole nother team of X-Men that he basically murdered.
Right. And so I think like Vulcan is kind of the poster child for the beginning of what has led us to the current situation where half the X-Men hate the other half and Professor X has been murdered by his most prized student. Oh, Corsair dies.
Yeah, I love Corsair.
So a lot of things that I have really disliked about the direction the X-Men has gone in the last several years all kind of stemmed from the creation of Vulcan. And so I think he's a contender for this question for me.
I think he's a better answer than your first answer. I think Vulcan's bullshit was way more egregious than anything Rogue has done. Like, Rogue's been annoying and Rogue has been whiny, but Rogue has not affected X-Men continuity as much as Vulcan did.
Well, yeah, it's just that I've had 30 years of Rogue to have to deal with and only like 8 years of Vulcan.
All right, that's fair. Guys, girls, thank you everybody that called in and sent us an MP3 with your answer this week. This was a hell of a question. I seriously feel like I lost weight during this one. This was cathartic.
It was very cathartic. I feel like I've gotten a lot off my chest. And I know that the second we stop recording, I'm going to think of about 5 more characters.
Oh, I've already come up with 2 more, but I'm not going to go into it because it's late and I'm tired and I still have to edit this damn show.
Yeah!
Of course, we will have another answer of the week that will be posted this Friday. And then, this weekend, episode number 150 of the
Two-Headed
Nerd. I'm not going out of town to take a bunch of drugs. I'm staying here, and we're actually going to record it. We're going to talk about comics from last week and talk about comics from this week. It's going to be crazy. I can't wait.
It's going to be an Ask a Nerd question and a Comic Pusher segment. Matt, you better start writing that rap.
Good Lord. We will see you this weekend. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be ugly, folks. Thanks again for calling us and talking to us and listening to us. We love you more than anything in the whole world. Until next time, sweethearts, it's always good to hear your voices, and we can't wait to hear them again. This is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.